Welcome to the podcast that brings you interviews, reviews, arts and entertainment news, all wrapped up in one place. You're listening to Art to Art with Imani Moe. Coming up, we're heading to the theatre. In this episode, I'll be having an art to art with the wonderfully bubbly Helen Pearson. Earlier this week, I went to see a reworking of the true story of Calendar Girls, about the women from Yorkshire who shocked and won the hearts of not only the nation, but globally too, with their naked calendar for a great cause. Now, many of you may remember the film released back in 2003 starring Helen Mirren and Julie Walters. Well, this reimagined musical version has actually been written by the original film and stage scriptwriter Tim Firth. And now added to this, we have the musical talents of Take That's Gary Barlow, who's also credited as co-writer on this musical. The cast are wonderfully eclectic, from Maureen Nolan of the Nolan Sisters to former EastEnders actress Laurie Brett, veteran actress Lynn Paul to former Hollyoaks actress Helen Pearson. What a great cast of women! Now, before we launch into Helen's latest project, being on tour with the stage production of Calendar Girls the Musical, many of us know this very familiar face from TV soap Hollyoaks, where she's spent over a decade honing her character Frankie. So with that in mind, I asked Helen about this part of her TV career. And here's part one of our conversation.
I mean, obviously I was on Hollyoaks for, I think it was 15, maybe 15 and a half years. So it's a long time to have been around. And then prior to that, I'd done a year on Emmerdale, which although that was kind of quite a different audience. And then before that, you know, actually I did a long running commercial for an electrical company we won't mention. But yeah, so I think people often know my face and they're not sure quite where from. and the Calendar Girls audience is not typical Hollyoaks audience, but a lot of people say, oh, we know you. So, you know, maybe it's that they've grown up with it and you know, they had children or even grandchildren who are watching it. So, but yeah, I guess I, yeah.
I think you should be in EastEnders next, or Corrie.
Well, I did do EastEnders, and back in the 80s, I think it was.
And
I played a character called April McIntosh, which used to make me laugh because I used to think they'd get the name April, and they'd think, now, what can we do? You know, April showers, McIntosh, yay! And that was the name. I just thought it was a hysterical name. But they dyed my hair and they cut it all off. So I looked very different then. Oh. But it was a long time ago. But yes, I think it's definitely time to go back to EastEnders and or Corrie. Please note all the above. Because I've done all the others now. I've never done Corrie. But Corrie would be great. Or as you say, EastEnders.
Yeah, you see, I'm a massive EastEnders fan and I would have been too young to watch it. Oh, I need you on EastEnders. That's what we need.
Oh, let's get that out there. Let's put that into the ether and the universe. And
Let's put that out there. But obviously, we're going to talk about Calendar Girls and what... Yeah. I mean, the movie is just so brilliant, heartwarming.
I haven't seen the movie since it was out. And then when I got the job, I thought, oh, I must watch it again, because I knew it was quite different. This, obviously, you know, there's no music in the movie, and this particular production has been rewritten by Tim and Gary to tour. So it's slightly, not scaled down, that would be the wrong word, but I mean, there were no children in it where there was in the West End. But anyway, I decided I'd watch the film. And then I think I bought it on whatever Netflix. And then when I came to watch it, it expired. And I thought, oh, maybe I wasn't meant to do that. Maybe that was something. But actually, as soon as the show is over, I will watch it. It is a true story. So obviously that's not changed or dated. It's what it is. And we have gorgeous people who come along with their buckets from the Blood Cancer Charity and collect. So the charity's still making money. I mean, and on it goes, which is fantastic. I mean, it's great. It feels so special to be a part of that. You know,
absolutely. And why not, you know, do it for a good cause? That's kind of, I guess, where the charm and the warmth as well comes from. I love the themes of the film. It's very empowering as well. And if you remember, for those that have seen the film and love the film, I wondered for you perhaps also, what kind of themes resonate for you now being in Calendar Girls and kind of feeling it for yourself in a way as an actress?
Well, you've said, I mean, you know, it's a lot of fun, but there is, and there's a lot of love and there's a lot of warmth. I mean, people that I have had come and see, who quite frankly, I've sort of thought, I'm not sure if it's their cup of tea, slightly more intellectual, but they have absolutely loved it because of the joy and the warmth and the love and also the message of hope, particularly, you know, in these times when we're, you know, we've got, God, you know, 2+ wars going on. And I think people are, you know, I think it'd be right to say people are generally quite low and depressed by everything that's happening. And I think to come and see a show that, you know, is actually about, you know, well, it's about cancer. It's about the death of somebody from cancer. It's not just about that. But, you know, that is why it happened. And actually, they go away feeling, although they've cried, you know, my agent came last night and she said, oh, my God, I was absolutely, you know, sobbing at one point. But, you know, the overall message is one of hope and joy. And it's I think very much it's a celebration of womanhood, of women's friendships and of bodies and of how we actually, you know, how we present ourselves and feel about ourselves, you know, which is obviously a very current theme at the moment. It's something that will resonate with everybody, you know. So, God, it works for me as an actor on so many different levels. And of course, then there's the music added to the, you know, the book, which is already amazing. And the music is so good and so uplifting and so different. And also the lyrics, you know, I think it's fair to say that in a lot of musicals, you know, the music can be great, but the lyrics aren't necessarily as good as the music. But in this case, the lyrics are, they really move the show on and they're great. So it's a kind of win-win situation, really, Amani.
I can.
I've done an enormous monologue.
No, it's marvellous. I was thoroughly enthralled by it. No, absolutely. The thing is, you're absolutely right. You know, I always think, you know, when a medium is kind of like, so say something's really popular as a book and then they create a film out of it and then that film's really loved and then they make it like a theatre production out of it. It's always different when you go and see those things because each art form brings its own sort of edge to that story. That story is always there, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Mentioned that musical side of it. I wondered if you could tell us, Helen, about your character as well and how she fits into Calendar Girls.
We think she was one of the, well, certainly in this production and the stage production, I think she was one of the last ones to join this particular WI group. And for those who don't know, WI is Women's Institute. And we think that she's come from London, or certainly she's not from Yorkshire. She's married up, if you want to say, and she's come up to Yorkshire to be with her husband. She's an ex, not retired, but ex air hostess, and she's quite glamorous, and you know wears her hair up, and she's quite neat and precise and elegant. There's a lot of, you know, as part of the job, I think it would be you know, fair to say. Air hostesses have to be quite neat and tidy and presentable, don't they? And she's taken that to heart. So she is, and you know, I mean, I wear some very glamorous clothes and I'm very, you know, elegant in the show. And she, without wanting to give too much away, sorry, there's somebody trying to get through, so just ignore that. She has enhanced her body in some way, shape or form and keeps that hidden. Or has kept that hidden. And then there's a question out and out raised about whether she has enhanced the body or not. And it's answered, the question is answered in the form of a song, in which she then most certainly tells us all that in fact she has had this enhancement and that she's very proud of it and it makes her feel better, you know. So whether or not you believe in that sort of thing, I think the fact that this woman has made that choice, her own choice, and has had this enhancement. And it's, you know, she's very happy with it. And it's about, you know, one's right to do what one really wants to do with one's own body, I guess, you know. And it's also a lot of fun. And of course, you know, at the end, you know, there's the famous photo shoot when the calendar is shot and the girls get, you know, sort of, you know, do they or do they not reveal any flesh that, you know, isn't often revealed? You know, then listeners will have to come and find out. But you know, at the end of the day, obviously it's not, they do it very cleverly and no flesh is revealed, although I would have to add that on a couple of nights I've become over exuberant in my leaping around the stage and have managed to apparently flashed a little bit more than was actually originally suggested. I've been told off about that. Oh, so my exuberance and energy has got the better of me. I was very humbled by that. I was told in no uncertain terms it mustn't happen again. I thought, oh my God, no.
I beg to differ. I think that everyone sitting in that audience were like, wow, Helen's really going for that.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes. I thought in this day and age, really, a little teeny tiny bit of nipplage, you know, a nipplage for a nanosecond, let's call it. I would have thought that would not be too much of a problem, but I've been asked to restrain myself.
You know what? I think you should just go for it, Helen. And if something pops out, that's the way it is. It's just meant to have happened. And that's it.
I'll quote you then.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. You can do that. You've got my permission, definitely.
You're listening to Art to Art with Imani Mo. Yep, that's me, where we bring you some cosy conversations with some fabulous people from the world of arts and entertainment. You can access all available podcast episodes on all major podcast platforms, or you can head on over to the website Art to Art, that's art, the number two, art.podbean.com. And if you want to search me out on socials, it's just AmaNnyMo, all one word, on Instagram or X, formerly known as Twitter. I've been chatting to the wonderfully effervescent British actress Helen Pearson, who's graced our screens on a number of popular soaps, but she's currently on tour with Calendar Girls the Musical. I went to see it, and boy, does Helen have a fantastic pair of... a fantastic set of pipes, singing voice. Well, you know what I mean. There are lots of catchy, uplifting songs, and I'll talk more about my thoughts on the musical later on in the pod. But for now, let's head back into part two of my conversation with Helen about treading the boards again for Calendar Girls. We talked about you know, working long-term TV. And that there's obviously the way that telly works is very different to the way theatre works. And I wondered, having stepped away from TV to do these productions and Calendar Girls being a big part of that acting process, what are the challenges? Are there any challenges when you go from one medium to another? Or was it quite easy just to slip back into the theatre?
Well, of course, I first started out in theatre very much as a child, and then I moved into television, I think, in my 20s. I mean, they're two very different mediums, I think, all medias, but essentially it's the same job. I mean, it is very different. You know, if you're on stage alive, if you mess up, then you're kind of stuck with it. You have to kind of wiggle out of it in the best way possible. Obviously, if you're in television or film, and you make a boo-boo, no pun intended, you can go again. Although, of course, with soap, it's filmed very quickly. So they generally don't kind of want to do that. So you haven't got the luxury, really, of doing it all the time. In number theatre, it needs to be slightly bigger, you know. So it's a different way of working. I mean, it's surprising how quickly you can adapt to. I mean, I hadn't done any theatre when I did my first job after Hollyoaks. I think it was... God, I think it was 20 years. It might have even been longer. I mean, it's a hell of a time. And I did sort of think, oh my God, am I going to be terrified? How's it going to feel? You know, and it was kind of like, this is really happening. But actually, of course, during the rehearsal process, you're just doing what you do. And then, you know, you adapt, you know, one does adapt, and I think fairly quickly. And I enjoy both mediums. I mean, I think theatre, particularly this job at the moment, I mean, we do a lot of matinees and a lot of evening performances. So it's quite hard work physically. There are lots of quick changes, you know, you're up and down the stairs a lot. I particularly have to wear fairly high heels for my character. You know, television, it's a slower process, and of course, as we've said before, it's not live, so it can be slightly more relaxed. I mean, it's tiring as well emotionally, television, but I would say it's not always as tiring as theatre, because, you know, yeah, I mean, you still work long hours in telly, but it's very different. And for me, I've always wanted to have a balance in my career. I've always really wanted to do, you know, a mix of everything. And I certainly really wanted to do a musical. I played Mrs. Johnson in Blood Brothers, oh God, 30 years ago. I had done musicals, you know, before that, and I really enjoyed them, and I'd always thought that I would do more. And then partly because of Hollyoaks, I suppose that didn't happen. And so I said to my agent, I really, really would like to do a musical. So when Calendar Girls came up, it was perfect.
Yeah, amazing. And then you get to sing not only Tim Firth's words, but Gary Barlow's words. Wow.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, true. Yeah, so double bubble.
I mean, just finally, like, for people that thinking, oh, shouldn't I go along, I love the film, or, you know, I remember the story, what would you say to them, Helen?
I'd say, you know, it's a very different animal to the film, but it's the same, the story is the same, that the personalities, I think, are the same sort of characters. I think the music is particularly pertinent in that it really does bring the joy out, you know. And as I said earlier in the interview, the songs really move the show along. They're not sort of just musical numbers there for a bit of musical number, you know. It's a sort of integral part of the show. I think it's a great night out. I think it's, as I said, warming, funny. You'll probably cry, but it's a feel good show. It's like having a really lovely glass of white wine or whatever, you know. And we do get a lot of women come together, you know, with the odd man. And I'll tell you one story. Last night I saw this two couples in the front row, and I could see the men were thinking, what the bloody hell is this, initially, and then kept clocking them, and as the night wore on, they were getting more and more into it, and then by the end of the night they were all on their feet and they were whooping and stomping, and I just, to me, that really made my night, actually. And also you think, oh well, I think they've enjoyed this show, hopefully it'll bring them back to the theatre and they'll see more. It's a jolly good, fun, warm, uplifting, hilarious night in the theatre. That's what I would say.
Brilliant. Oh, I'm there. I'm definitely going to come along.
And are you coming?
Yeah, I'm going to come to press night at Woking. I hope that's the plan, Helen.
Oh, well, that's lovely. I look forward to meeting you. Yeah,
it'll be absolutely amazing. I wondered, actually, I know you're very, very busy, but do you have anything on what I would call a watch list? Something that you've got in your mind or on a list? It's like the list of things to do or see or listen to a podcast, maybe, or read a book in the arts and entertainment world that you think, oh, I've got to do that. That's one thing that I have to do.
I've just drawn them. When anybody asks me questions like that, I'm afraid I just go completely blank. So no, I don't. I have a list by the TV of what I need to watch next, you know, like some recommendations. Ooh. I have just got a book I'm about to start reading. It's the Judi Dench novel, which I've been told is very, very good. Which is called, I think it's called Shakespeare's The Man Who Pays the Rent. Judi Dench is a great favourite of mine, and I've never met her, actually, but I always wanted to, and she's very funny. So that's by the bed, but I can't get into the TV room in the room to read the list out because I'm having some work done and there's furniture piled high.
Don't worry, I've got a good recommendation for you because I think
yes, please,
a wicked sense of humour, and I think you'd like this. It's called Mary and George, and it's on Sky. It's just started, and it's got the fabulous Tony Curran in it, who plays King James the First. I interviewed him the other week, and Julianne Moore. It's so good.
She's great. I love her.
It's obviously set in Jacobean times, but it's really got a contemporary sort of twist, a bit like The Favourite, how it's a period drama, but kind of like a bit naughty and a bit...
Yeah,
the filthy words, the swear words, I think you'd really like that.
Oh, I like a bit of naughtiness. Yeah, I mean, I've watched some. Obviously, to be honest, with this tour, I'm literally, by the time I get home from most places, and I then have to walk my dog, you know, it's kind of midnight, and I just think, God, go. If I start watching TV, I'm up till two, and then, you know, I'm just so tired. Yeah, I haven't watched much TV, it has to be said. So I'm looking forward to when it's doing catch up on so many things. I just lie there. Anyway, it's really nice to talk to you. I wish all interviewers were as interesting as you are.
Oh, thank you so much, Helen. It's an absolute joy. I feel like we're having like a cup of coffee and a chat and a gym wag, you know. It's yes, lovely. Yeah. And I look forward to meeting you.
Oh, thank you so much. Joyous to talk to you. And I really look forward to meeting you on Tuesday night.
Sadly, we missed each other after the show, but never mind. You're listening to Art to Art with Imani Mo, and I'd love to have an Art to Art with you.
You've just heard my chat with actress of stage and screen Helen Pearson talking about her career and going back to work in the theatre again for Calendar Girls, the musical, that's currently at Woking's New Victoria Theatre until Saturday, the 30th of March. If you want to find out more information or get your tickets, head on over to atgtickets.com. So tell me, have you seen the show? What are your thoughts? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about mine. I took my 19-year-old niece along with me to Woking, to the New Victoria Theatre, and I wasn't actually really sure how she'd receive it. Now, for me personally, having lost many close friends, family friends, even colleagues to cancer, the true story and the movie really touched me deeply. There's a lot of hope in this story, and I also felt that the story really still resonates today because of this terrible disease that keeps affecting and taking millions and millions of people across the world. The set itself is a gorgeous practical set that's a community space. It represents the church hall where the women from the Women's Institute have their meetings. And the set changes are very minimal, very minimalistic, but I think that the lack of kind of fanciness and gadgetry, even lots of moving parts, really does keep your attention on the characters and the motives of these characters, these women who are from a very rural women's institute who effectively decided to do something extremely, well, let's just say eye-catching and, well, naked for a calendar, let's be frank, to raise money for somebody they loved. It's absolutely admirable. The story's inspirational and uplifting, but does it work as a musical? I think that's what I was most concerned about, if I'm absolutely honest. Now, Act 1, for the most part, is establishing the grassroots of the story, the characters, so it did feel a little bit on the dry side. Not because of the performances. I was invested in some of the women's stories, but not all of them in Act 1. But then, you know, these wonderful actors would sing a really catchy number, stunning harmonies, and so on point. A brilliantly eclectic cast as well, including Helen Pearson, Laurie Brett, Liz Carney, Maureen Nolan, Lynn Paul, Honeysuckle Weeks, and Samantha Seeger, who, by the way, has one incredible voice as well. Absolutely loved her character. Yes, some of the Yorkshire accents are a little bit dodgy, but I didn't mind that. I do think that Act 2 was a much stronger offering in terms of its cohesiveness of the narrative alongside the songs as well. It just felt a lot tighter and a more emotional act than Act 1. But that doesn't detract from the overall feeling, because I would say that if you love musicals, you want to have a laugh and maybe get a little bit emosh, then Calendar Girls, the musical, could very well be for you. So that's just a short review from me. Calendar Girls, the musical, will continue on its last leg of its tour until the 13th of April. Next up, they'll be heading to Norwich and then finally Crawley. That's all from me for now. A massive thanks to my wonderful guest, Helen Pearson, for joining me on this episode. I'll be back with more amazing guests from the world of arts and entertainment very, very soon. Until next time, see ya! You're listening to Art with Imani Moe. This is your podcast that brings you interviews, reviews, arts and entertainment news, all wrapped up in one place.